Welcome to Necessary Conversations with Daryl M. Taliaferro. Conversations that are real, raw, and relevant. Let's get the conversation started now.
Hey, welcome to episode number 20 of Necessary Conversations. I'm so excited to have you on the journey today. On today's episode, we're moving into part two of the conversation, navigating the challenges associated with being a woman in leadership. I'm so happy to have joining me again, Christina Joy Whitaker. She's a speaker, leader, and business and leadership strategist. Let's get to it right now. You know, Christina, there's so many challenges in leadership that women deal with that men simply don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
In an article written in Forbes magazine, the authors outline 15 of the biggest challenges that women face in leadership. Number one, being treated equally.
Mm-hmm.
Will I receive an assignment that my male counterpart won't receive? Will I be overlooked for a promotion? Will I be overlooked for a raise? Number two, building a sisterhood.
Yeah.
Another challenge that many women in leadership face is garnering support from other women. Because women in leadership deal with such inequality, many women find it difficult to find true and authentic friends in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, generating revenue. Another challenge that women face in leadership is the inequality surrounding compensation.
Yeah.
According to a 2020 survey conducted by PayScale.com, women make only 81 cents for every dollar a man makes.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, being confident. One of the biggest challenges that women in leadership deal with is their confidence.
Yeah.
Being confident amid men that seek to diminish their confidence. Number five, speaking up.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's not enough just to be in the role or sit at the table, but women must also speak confidently, regardless as to what odds seem to be stacked against them.
Yeah.
Number six, building alliances with decision makers. You see, some women feel as if they've been put down or pushed aside.
Yeah.
Or told that they don't belong at the table, in the room, let alone a part of the organization. Number six, becoming a member of the C-suite.
Mm-hmm.
You see, women all around the world are making auspicious moves in the workplace. They're taking more risk and preparing themselves to take on more challenging roles. But one of the greatest obstacles that women face every day is making their way to the C-suite. Number eight, asking for more money. You see, many women struggle with either not charging enough or being afraid to ask for more money.
Yes.
Number nine, standing in their success. Some women in leadership shy away from speaking on their accomplishments,
mm-hmm,
for fear of being boastful or conceited. And some women even tend to think that it's better for them to shrink themselves as not to seem intimidating.
Yeah.
Number 10, tackling the imposter syndrome. Now, this is simply feeling like you don't belong. You don't belong in the room. You don't belong at the table. You don't belong a part of the organization, and you don't belong in the role.
Yeah.
Number 11, overcoming perfectionism. You see, so many women in leadership become paralyzed by perfectionism, feeling like they have to do better and better and better and better and better, not better than someone else, but better than themselves.
Yeah.
Number 12, trusting their own voice. Many women question, who am I to sit at the table, take on this role? Who am I to take on this assignment? Number 13, shifting their word choice. You see, women in leadership share the challenge of reconciling an internal conflict between being perceived as a respected leader versus a bossy woman.
Mm-hmm.
The subtle conflict between being bossy and assertive is very real. Number 14, dealing with negative thoughts. You see, women in leadership deal with various negative thoughts that arise in their mind. And these negative thoughts, if left unchecked, tend to control their life.
Yeah.
Number 15, re-entering the paid workforce. You see, for many women, relaunching a career after a long hiatus, either as a full-time caregiver for children or aging parents, is challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Christina, no matter what challenges women may face in leadership, it is possible for women to overcome them all.
Yeah. What I realize more so than anything is sometimes you need to hear that it's a possibility. So in our heads, we are taught almost an earn your keep narrative, right? So you join an organization, you put in value, you put in work, you prove yourself, and eventually there will be some sort of reward. And what a lot of women, especially women of color, realize is that that reward is nominal.
Right.
No one can ever pay you your worth.
That's right.
Ever. You are worth more than that, but they don't call it the golden handcuffs for nothing.
Yeah.
Salaries, especially large ones with bonuses and everything, they're called golden handcuffs because they know they can dangle stability. They can dangle that thing in front of you as enticement. But what I realized was you can't call something a safety net or stable if someone can take it from you.
That's so true.
And that's what I had to realize in my own journey. I was queen of the 401k. Every 2 weeks, my six-figure check came. I loved to not have to look at my bank account. I loved it. That was me.
Yeah.
I had no desire for uncertainty or instability. For what?
Right.
Like, no, I didn't want it.
Yeah.
But what I realized when, honestly, I was in a scenario, I had moved down to Atlanta. I felt like I was locking into my purpose and I was in an organization for good, right? I switched to education and I was like, I was going to help the people.
Yeah.
And then I ended up getting laid off.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, this was my security. Mm-hmm. But I realized in that unraveling, I had put so much of my identity in my job.
Yeah.
I had put so much identity in my self-worth and wrapped it up and given it to somebody else in the form of employment.
Yeah.
And so while I'm not always an advocate and saying like, oh, everyone should be an entrepreneur, I do think that you should know all of the options at your disposal and understanding that a company doesn't own your value. And even if you stay in an organization or if you choose to continue working a traditional 9-to-5, if something is no longer serving you, it is up to you to make that decision to break away from it.
Yeah.
Because after a while, you're just going to get more embittered. It's going to start taking a toll on your mental health. It's going to start taking a toll on your physical health. And you're going to find yourself and you're going to look back and see that you did your job, you did your work, but you did not craft the legacy that you really wanted to create.
Yeah.
You're not going to be remembered for what those unspoken visions were in your head that you decided that they weren't worth taking the risk on, that they weren't worth even being curious about. You weren't even going to look into it because you had told yourself you're too old or you had waited too late or you didn't study that in school. We have so many excuses at our disposal.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're essentially doing is killing ourselves.
Yeah.
We're killing our visions. We're killing the things that really we were on earth to do. And you feel tormented because you haven't given a chance to breathe.
Wow. Quite often we find ourselves in a perpetual cycle of just enough, or that will do, you know?
Yes.
And it's unfortunate because we are living every day fulfilling somebody else's vision.
Yeah.
While at the same time forsaking and therefore killing our own.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many people that God has given great ideas, talents, gifts, mm-hmm. goals to that have never fulfilled them because they've been too busy getting a check or mm-hmm. chasing stability and not chasing the purpose that God has for them.
Exactly. I feel like that process isn't as well defined as it needs to be, right?
Right.
So I think in the church, we always say like, oh, just pray and he'll guide you, which at the baseline, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone who might have been like me, who struggled to hear from God or struggled to really trust God's voice and be able to differentiate it from a passing thought to is this God, is this not God? That's not helpful advice.
No.
That doesn't give me anything, right?
Nothing. Confusion.
Yes. Yeah, it's confusion. Yeah. And so we don't equip people with the resources to actually, okay, if you have a vision that keeps recurring, how do you lean into that curiosity?
Mm-hmm.
What steps do you need to do to start investigating? Do you need to sign up for a training? Do you need to get a coach? Do you need a course? What do you need to at least start scratching that itch so you start getting along the path that you're looking into? Maybe this is possible. Maybe this can actually happen. Instead, I think where a lot of times we feel like we're answering that question of helping people discover purpose and we talk about it and we idolize it, but half these people aren't locked into purpose.
Right.
You can't be.
Right.
Right? Because you're not producing any fruit. You're not producing anything that is really going to attract people to Christ. If our purpose is to have people call closer to him and you're not doing anything that's appealing to anyone, you aren't in purpose.
Yeah, so true. One person that we believe is in purpose is Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at Kamala Harris, we see her as a success story, right? You know, she's mm-hmm. the first female vice president
mm-hmm.
who happens to be a woman of color.
Yeah.
We celebrate that. But then when we look at ladies like Stacey Abrams,
mm-hmm.
some people will not celebrate her, but she has by far been one of the most influential leaders of our day.
Yes.
Being one who was part of the Georgia House of Representatives and then,
mm-hmm.
of course, in 2018, a gubernatorial candidate.
Yeah.
And of course, she lost that election.
Yeah.
But since then, she has been a fierce advocate of equality, mm-hmm. a fierce advocate of making sure that others are in position to do what they need to do. As a matter of fact, she was influential in Warnock being elected there in Georgia.
Yeah.
She helped with the Biden campaign. Mm-hmm. And she's been one that still, though she lost the election, she hasn't soured in her approach.
Right.
She hasn't been stifled, as it were. But she's been one that still moved forward.
Yeah.
And I believe when you look at women like that, that speaks to the tenacity and the vivaciousness, if you will, of women in leadership. Speak to that a little bit about the insistence on moving forward versus the relent, so to speak.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And she is a perfect example of the mark of a true leader. True leaders don't need titles.
Sure.
True leaders don't need that platform. Stacey Abrams went to work when she was a candidate and when she wasn't a candidate.
Yeah.
She had a mission and she knew how to galvanize and motivate people toward that mission. She knew that we needed to make sure that our voices were heard. So she developed a structure that allowed really the ramifications to shift an election.
Yeah.
And not even shift. I think it just uncovered, right? Because what it did was gave voice to more people who beforehand weren't voting or were silenced.
So true.
And so her insistence to do it regardless of whether people were looking or not, that is absolutely the mark of a leader. Another quality of a leader is someone who's able to produce other leaders. If something is good, it will produce fruit, right?
Right.
And so if you're a leader and you're not emboldening other people, you're not activating other people, you aren't empowering other people, you are not a leader because they are going to be reflections of you. And so if they aren't leaders themselves, you might just be a title holder, not necessarily a leader. What Stacey Abrams just gave this whole country a masterclass in is how to be persistent in your mission and to know that whether you are on a national spotlight or not, you need to be dedicated to that mission. You need to do the work and you need to be incredibly strategic in knowing how to put in a structure that allows other people to be empowered and continually activated. She could go anywhere from here and we will still have her organizations in place and we will still be reaping the benefits of the work that she did when no one was looking.
Yeah, so true. So we've talked about women in leadership in corporate America. We talked about women in leadership in the government. Mm-hmm. I want to conclude by talking about women in leadership as relates to their homes.
Mm.
You know, you have moms who are leading ladies, stay-at-home moms who have the responsibility of raising children, who have the responsibility of being supportive wives.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to those women who feel, you know, maybe I'm not as significant as the Kamala Harris's or the Christina Joy Whitaker's or the Stacey Abrams? Mm-hmm. What would you say to those women?
You know, that's an interesting question. And in this past year, I had a few women who were in that category who might have been out of the workforce for a really long time.
Yeah.
And they were looking to jump in, or they weren't looking to jump in. They just wanted to figure out, okay, how do I do this entrepreneurship thing? How do I launch? And I hold that position as a homemaker, as someone who is managing the household in such high esteem, mainly because I saw my mom do it.
Yeah.
My mom was in real estate and she, you know, had a daycare and everything, but she made the decision she really wanted to focus on her children. And that's a full-time, that's really more than a full-time job in itself.
It is.
Right? To have to make sure that you know everyone's schedules. You are getting people to places at the times they need to get to. You're having the meetings. You're managing budgets. You're managing household. You're keeping up with the household. And not only that, essentially you're a vault for everyone. Secrets and passions and dreams.
Yes.
And you're having to maneuver all of that. Not to mention, my mom was also a first lady, which comes with a whole other set of things, right?
Yeah.
But there's so many pressures on that particular role. And I will say moms are the most resilient people I have ever met. And for that, I think they are the most primed to do leadership roles. I mean, I even see some of my friends navigating that space now where they have toddlers and they're having a business meeting while literally a toddler is hanging off of their arm or something like that.
Yeah.
That's a lot to manage. That is commendable, credible. And I think a lot of times we don't see the value because you turn into a mode where you just do things naturally.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm going to get it done. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to get it done.
Yeah.
But I would challenge anyone in that space to make sure that you don't also abandon your heart's desires and your dreams.
So
I believe there's a world in which you can still put time into yourself and pursuing what you know your purpose is. Because while your assignment may be to manage a household at this time, that does not mean that that's your only purpose. Right? There are some things that God needs you to accomplish. And so while we can take pride in doing all of that work, and it is amazing, it's literally the backbone of society, right? For us to be able to have these healthy households and to be able to function.
Yeah.
But understand that that's not where it stops and you're not done.
Yeah.
There's so many women who feel like, okay, now what? Yeah. And that's a beautiful place to be in, because now you can really give yourself an opportunity to revisit some of those feelings and some of those inklings that you just thought they were meant for someone else.
Yeah.
What I realize is a lot of people in these capacities, they'll have a dream or a vision and they'll share it maybe with a spouse or something of that nature because they think it's for them. Or they'll share it with their children because they're like, oh, I have this great idea for you.
Mm-hmm.
When it's like, no, that was for you.
Yeah, that's for you.
That was your vision.
Yeah.
You're responsible for that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some hesitancy that comes with tackling that. But there's so much beauty when you actually do lean into that vulnerability and allow God to show you, okay, this is what I was building in you all this time.
Yeah, so true.
I'll say the best service you can be to your household is when people see you serving yourself as well.
Yeah.
If you constantly put up the mindset that you come last and that you're neglected, that's the example that your children are going to see. That's the example that your spouse is going to see. That's what the example of what your household is going to see.
So true.
And you could be single doing the same thing as well. I won't default just to families because you still have to manage. I'm managing my household as a single woman. That is what I am called to do.
Right.
And so if I continue to put myself last or neglect certain tasks, that's the story I'm telling myself.
Right.
And if I keep telling that same narrative, that translates to habits, that translates to beliefs.
That's so true.
And so that's not something we want to reaffirm.
Definitely. So just by chance, there's a little girl who happens to stumble upon this podcast and listens to this episode. What would you tell her as relates to leadership?
Mm.
How would you encourage her?
Yeah, I would say understand the value that you bring. Be confident that you belong in every single room that you step in, and be bold with your decisions.
Right.
I say all of that to say there's an authenticity that we need to learn in this process of leadership. Everyone is a leader of some sort.
Right.
You could lead yourself. You could lead a nation. You can lead a country. You can lead a company. You can lead a household.
Right.
Everyone is a leader of some sort. But what allows the leaders that are effective to be most effective is they're able to tap into their authentic value and they're able to operate in that genius.
Yeah.
And so what's important is not letting anybody shift yourself out of it,
right.
But understand there's so much value in what you bring. And so you pay attention to that.
That's right.
Even if it's uncertain, even if you don't know, lean into that curiosity and trust the process. And I hate the fact that I just said the words trust the process, because I used to rebuke it to my core for the majority of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But understand that when you lean into curiosity, a process will come and you have the choice to either go on it or not.
That's right.
I would encourage you to go on that process.
Wow. So, Christina, you kind of made a pivot in your own leadership journey, and you decided to move away from corporate America, and you're now an entrepreneur. You own your own business.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I'll say I made that journey kicking and screaming.
Okay.
I was not necessarily the type of person who always dreamed of entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
If anything, what I wanted to do was create something that I could sell off and I could retire and just live on an island at the age of 40 or something like that. Like, that's all I really wanted to do. But what happened was I entered in corporate America fresh out of university. And I started in the consulting sector. And so in consulting, you get a lot of experience very quickly. And so I was operating at a very high level with literally the largest consulting firm in the world and doing well. I then took a step back and I said, you know what? I want to go to grad school. If I don't go to grad school now, I'm never going to go.
Yeah.
So I ended up in California. And I had great experiences, and somehow I ended up in the entertainment industry, working for both Sony and the Walt Disney Company. And it was great. I was also working with executives in that particular position as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to the East Coast. I'm a DC native and just wanted a change of scenery. Went back for a promoted opportunity in the state of Pennsylvania. I was working in Philadelphia. But what I kept realizing was while I was hopping cities and I was hopping companies, I felt as if I was stuck in each position. It's not that I couldn't perform. I actually was performing at a very high level. But what I realized was my impact, what I really wanted to do, was being diminished. And I was having, I couldn't shake off this feeling that I was supposed to do more. And I had a message to share. And I wasn't exactly sure why I kept having these visions of me speaking on stages and things of that nature. Because in my capacity, while I did speak a lot, while I engaged with people, it wasn't in that venue. And so it didn't make sense to me. And what I realized was I also kept picking companies just because of the prestige, because of the money attached to it, quite frankly, right, as well as my ability to still have that facade of being upward mobile. And so in my late 20s, I found myself at an organization and I was the highest ranking African-American female on my national Fortune 500 team. And I realized that wasn't even the precipice of really what I wanted to do. While I had achieved my goal, I was kind of at the top tier at that point. I still was so frustrated with myself because I was like, well, if it's not this, then what?
Yeah.
What is it, God? Where are you leading me? I'm not understanding why I'm doing things. I'm going for these opportunities. I'm not shying away. I'm being my bold self. But I keep getting to this point where it's almost like a square peg round hole scenario.
Yeah.
And honestly, it was plaguing me and it started having, you know, mental ramifications. It started having, you know, effects on my mental health in the form where I started spiraling into depression.
Yeah.
I started not taking care of myself. That neglect just kept happening and happening. And at the same time, there was almost this isolation that was happening.
Yeah.
And I tried desperately to go from role to role to find what job was going to do it.
Yeah.
What job was going to fix that void in me?
Wow.
And what I remember God speaking at one point after I felt like I couldn't hear him for a long time was, what you are looking for does not exist. Mm. And I'm like, well, what do you mean it doesn't exist?
Yeah.
And then it went silent again. And I'm like, okay, well, what am I supposed to do? And so I started making decisions that were just off of curiosity. So I said, you know what? I love working with kids. Let me try to go into education.
Yeah.
And so I went into education, which brought me down to Atlanta, Georgia. And I was working, I had gotten a national fellowship and a national fellowship award to get a free additional master's degree, as well as work with the education system down here. And it was great for a while. It actually didn't require me to do much. But what I realized was I still wasn't in that particular realm. Like, this is not where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
And so I remember hearing someone talk about a conference about speaking and coaching, actually Marshawn Evans Daniels. And I had never really heard about the industry, but I knew I needed to be in that room. So I signed up for the conference, learned about it, and I felt home finally.
Yeah.
I was, when they were painting the picture, I just knew this is what I'm supposed to do. Like, this is where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
And so during that same time period, God actually spoke to me and he told me, you're not going to stay at your job. And I was like, oh, perfect. I switch jobs all the time.
Yeah.
This is going to be great. Like, I only have a year left in this position. All right, God, I'm with you. Next year, we're transitioning out.
Yeah.
But what happened was the month later, I got laid off.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, you mean I'm not staying right now?
Right.
Like, right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I had was a decision to make. I had this plan of starting a business that I had crafted the month before.
Yeah.
And I had the very real option because people said, listen, tell me the company. We're going to get you in. Let us know. But every time I thought about going back to a corporate environment, not that it's a bad thing, but for me, that was not where I was supposed to be. My stomach kept turning.
Yeah.
And I knew, you know what? I'm supposed to take this entrepreneurial route. And I thought that immediately I was going to see success because I felt like I was honoring God's choice for my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not what I found, I'll say.
Yeah.
It was crickets. I made no money for a very long time.
Yeah.
But what I learned was God as a provider and God is being faithful in that particular time.
Right.
And now I can look back and I can see the journey. I can see the process. I can see why I needed to be in this space because the impact I've been able to have has been tremendous. I was working with one woman, helped her get a new job, and she was able to add $89,000 to her already six-figure salary.
Wow.
I was helping another woman. She's now featured in the New York Times, and we're getting her story out as a thought leader in the space, as opposed to just another participant in an organization. I was working with another woman who, before we even met in the pre-work alone, added $30,000 to her income.
Yeah.
And I do this with ease. And so I know this is where I'm supposed to be. And so at this point, I'm just on the process. I'm on the faith journey. And I'm like, okay, where do we need to go next?
Yeah.
Which is what brought me to what I'm doing right now for the year 2021. I know I'm supposed to elevate the voices mm-hmm. of Black women thought leaders, especially Black women leaders of faith. I know that's what I'm supposed to be doing in terms of elevating their voices and making sure that their messages are getting to the platforms that are needed. And so I'm developing these women who predominantly right now have 9-to-5s, but they're supposed to be on different stages.
Right.
And so we're taking them through that process so they learn, okay, I know I have something. This is how you package it. This is how you talk about it.
Yeah.
So you can not only leverage the position you have right now, but also use it as a catalyst to getting to where you need to be. My program's name is Known.
Wow.
And so my goal is to really have an accelerator for women leaders of faith who are looking to get their messages out there. And so we take you through this process and we bring everything under one roof.
Yeah.
We have a wealth strategist under there. You have master classes with me to make sure that both your career and business goals are aligned.
Yeah.
We have a mindset coach who's in there. We have someone who's in there talking about business systems. I even hired a stylist
wow.
to talk about clothing choices so that we are confident in all places.
Yeah.
It is an all-in-one solution to help the busy professional as they are working to craft their brand.
That's amazing. So, Christina, what's the name of the business and how can individuals connect with you?
So my business's name is Pivot Brand Group. Pivot is spelled P-I-V-O-T, brandgroup.com. Anyone can reach out through that platform to reach me. And so information about that can be found on my website. You can also reach me on social media. So on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook, if you search Christina Joy Whitaker, I will pop up and I would love to connect with everyone.
Well, that's all the time we have for episode number 20. I want to thank my guest, Christina Joy Whitaker. Follow her on social media at Christina Joy Whitaker. I promise you, you won't regret it. Hey, this also ends season number 2 of Necessary Conversations. Join us on March 3rd for season 3. Now check this out. We want to hear from you. Check out our website, www.necessaryconversationspodcast.com, and let us know what topics you want to hear. Until next time, peace.
Thanks for listening to Necessary Conversations with Daryl M. Telefaro. Follow us on social media at Necessary Conversations Podcast. Join the conversation by leaving a message on our website, necessaryconversationspodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you'll be notified every time a new one drops. Now, go have the conversations you need to have with the people you need to have them with.